Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking about budget smart TVs. Now, this is because we have reviewed the Mi TV 4X50, which is a 50-inch 4K HDR TV that's available under 30,000 rupees. So this TV sort of gives you that specs to price ratio that all smartphone buyers crave for. And in the TV segment, under 30,000, if you're getting a 4K HDR TV, it seems like a phenomenal deal on paper. But is it really a good deal? Should you be buying these budget smart TVs, or are you rather better off getting a dumb TV? We'll find that out in this episode because we have our TV expert, Ali Pardiwala, here with us.
Namaskar.
Namaskar, indeed. I'm your host, Pranay Parab. And first, we'll begin by speaking about what the Mi TV 4X50 is and why there's been so much excitement around this TV.
So, yeah, the Mi TV 4X is a relatively new launch from Xiaomi. It was launched at the end of September. It's a new range in India. The 4X range is, this is the first time it's been launched in India. And the big thing about the 4X range is that these are flagship specifications. Now, typically, Xiaomi has gone with a strategy of having size and specifications kind of match. So, what you would have expected earlier is that the 55-inch or the 65-inch TV would have the 4K HDR screen, while the full 43-inch TV would be a full HD resolution TV. The 32-inch TV would typically be an HD resolution TV. So it was kind of a situation where if you wanted the best TV, you also had to deal with the largest size, whether you wanted that large size or not. Now the big change in the Mi TV 4X range is that it brings 4K HDR top spec specifications for the TV, even at smaller prices. The 4X range has a 43-inch 4K HDR TV as well as a 50-inch 4K HDR TV, which is the one that we reviewed.
So that's the most interesting part for me. Now, see, what happens in the TV space is, like, recently I was speaking to like a former colleague, and he was telling me that he's getting a 55-inch TV under 20,000 rupees because he had some friend who was a dealer, and that guy said that this was a demo unit which we kept for a while. Now the company has sent a new one. I won't name the brand here because it's not relevant. And he was saying that it's under, like, he was ready to give it for 19,500 or something like that. So now, my friend was asking me, should I buy this TV? It seems like a great deal. 55-inch under 20,000, I won't get otherwise. So my first question was, have you seen the TV? He said no. Have you, like, at least asked the dealer to maybe play a movie and, like, asked him, like, how it looks? He said no. I just looked at the size and the price, and I thought that it's 55-inch at 19,500, so it's a phenomenal deal. So a similar mistake a lot of people are going to make even with this TV. The Mi TV 4X50 is at 29,999. So you get 50 inches of screen space along with 4K HDR in the display at 30,000 rupees basically. So a lot of people are going to say, okay, this is phenomenal value, like, that price to size ratio is amazing. So is that the only thing you should be looking for when you get the TV?
So that is definitely phenomenal value, and if you are looking at a big screen 4K TV, then yeah, this is definitely going to strike your eye. 30,000 rupees for a TV of these specifications is pretty much unheard of. This is excellent value, definitely. But like you said, that's not the thing that you really should be looking at. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into a TV than just dealing with the size and the resolution. Now, all of that might sound great, but I mean, at the end of the day, it depends on what you're going to watch. If you're going to stream a lot of content, if you're going to watch a lot of movies, you'll want the colors to be right. You'll want the panel to be good. You want the motion to be better. You even want, assuming you're even just using the smart TV interface, you want the TV to be responsive. You want all of your apps to be available. There's a lot more that goes into a TV than simply dealing with saying, look, I want a 55-inch TV because, wow, it's big and it's going to look really great. No, it's not necessarily going to look great. And I hope your former colleague had the sense to check out that TV. I'm not going to say not buy that TV because I don't know which brand it was and I don't know how good it may or may not have been. But I hope he had the sense to check it out before he actually went ahead with that.
Well, luckily I convinced him not to buy that one. I told him, if you're going to buy, go to the shop and check it out. He said, I don't have the time for that. So then the conversation just went like that. Look, if you are going to buy the TV, no matter what the price, just go look at it once at least. If you like the panel quality, if you like the picture quality, take a file, like, you know, whatever, in a pen drive, take a video file which you've seen before, which you know know that, you know, this is how it should be looking and see how it looks on the TV and then take a call. So he then decided, okay, fine, maybe I should not just randomly make a purchase here. Now, the reason I brought that up was that the Mi TV is primarily going to be sold online and a lot of people are just going to look at the value proposition and some press shots of that and going to decide, okay, fine, I should just buy this TV because it looks great. But when they get the TV, then they might be disappointed because of some of the things that we are going to speak about in a bit. So first, let's talk about the one aspect that a lot of budget TVs like really cut corners on. So that's the number of ports. So what I've seen is with many TVs which are available under 20,000 and even under 30,000, you don't get enough HDMI ports, you don't get all the outputs that you need. So what do you get in the Mi TV 4X50 and what is not there?
So fortunately on the Mi TV 4X50, that ports aren't really an issue. You get 3 HDMI ports, which in my opinion is enough. I think you could manage with, I mean, 4 is a good thing, but 3 is not a bad thing. Let's just put it that way. You also get 2 USB ports. Again, 3 is a good thing, but 2 is not a bad thing. So there is just about enough over here to be able to connect the right amount of devices. Let's assume you have a gaming console. Let's assume you have a streaming device or a Blu-ray player. And let's assume you have a set-top box. I mean, pretty much those three are the core components which you would want to kind of plug in. And that should be pretty much enough. The 3 HDMI ports, the two USB ports. Apart from that, you also get the classic RCA connectors to connect AV devices. Say you have an older set-top box or something like that, you can connect that as well. What is missing over here, a critical missing component, is digital audio out as well as 3.5mm. So you can't exactly plug in headphones or even a basic soundbar or something like that. Unless, of course, you use HDMI ARC, which is available on one of the HDMI ports.
Yeah, true that. The only thing here that I would probably like to highlight is with the 3.5mm port, maybe it's not such a great miss on a TV because very few people are going to use wired headphones. Yes, like you said, some people will use the aux port on a speaker and connect it to that. But again, like HDMI is there, so it's not a major miss. But the other one, the optical out one, like I think a lot of people still rely on that for connecting the audio devices.
The optical out is, it being a digital port, it's actually quite heavily used when you're using certain audio devices. Say you want to connect it to your home theater system or something like that, which has its own amplification power. You want to be able to send a digital signal, in which case that digital audio port would have made a lot of sense. Unfortunately, missing on this particular TV. You do get SPDIF, but that's not just that's just not the same, honestly.
Yeah, true that. So, well, at least they have 3 HDMI ports. How's the spacing on the ports? Like, if I connect a Fire TV stick, will I be able to use the other two ports?
It's not too bad. I mean, they are a bit tightly placed, but I don't think it'll give you too much trouble, assuming... what I always suggest to people is get HDMI extenders, which is essentially something that is a male HDMI on one end and a female HDMI on the other end, which means you simply just get a little bit more wire space. And if you have a couple of those, I don't think you're going to have any trouble with placing stuff into the ports.
Yeah, true that. And 3 HDMI ports, like you said, is more than good enough. So now let's move to the most important thing about a TV, which is the panel. Now, you've tested 4K HDR clips. I mean, not just one clip, multiple clips of 4K HDR videos. Regular 4K without HDR, standard definition, high definition as well. And I think also 720p, right? So yes. How are the results?
So... the best results I found while watching 4K HDR content. Now, this was either through the clips that I had used. We have a bunch of test clips which we use for our reviews. Apart from that, we also stream a lot of the content. In the sense, we watch regular TV shows and movies. Now, Amazon Prime Video and Netflix both offer a wide catalog of 4K HDR content. We used a lot of that. Best results I found from 4K HDR content. The colors are the most accurate. HDR is doing its job over here and kind of getting the colors to a more reasonable, more accurate level. Sharpness, of course, is great. Motion is kind of iffy even at 4K HDR, but not as bad considering that we're dealing with the highest resolution of content here. The picture is looking really sharp. That, in my opinion, is the best. However, in order to get the colors to the right level of accuracy, I did have to kind of tune the brightness and the backlight intensity down, which suddenly meant that we were also dealing with a somewhat dull picture. So that's what I found with this particular panel. I wasn't able to get a vibrant picture as well as accurate colors. It was one or the other.
Yeah, so either the brightness was too low.
Either the brightness was too low and we got accurate colors, or the brightness was high enough, we got a vibrant picture, but then the colors were completely off.
Yeah, so that is one of your complaints with this TV, right? Like a number of options to tweak the picture.
That's right. There's not a lot you can do to kind of tweak the picture. And unfortunately, I mean, you go into the custom settings, you kind of tweak a few things. And like I said, I just wasn't able to find the right balance without kind of sacrificing one for the other.
Yeah, true that. So that's like kind of frustrating, especially if you're the kind of person who likes to tweak all the settings and make the picture look good according to your preference, then it's going to be disappointing. But then again, if you're going to put this TV in a house where nobody's actually going to fiddle with the settings and not notice too much, then...
So at the default settings also, I found the colors to be very iffy. I mean, like the default settings will have the brightness and vibrance kind of turned up. At which point the colors will start to look a bit off. I mean, you don't need to be an expert to see that the colors are off. Reds are like looking almost radioactive. Oranges are kind of blowing up in your face. Like if you look at something like a green or a gray or something alongside an orange, you're suddenly feeling like the orange thing is glowing, which should not really be happening in, and it would never happen in a high-end TV because those TVs kind of have the best panels in place. They are tuned well. This is something that you can typically expect with budget TVs. Something in the panel is going to be off. In this particular case, I found it to be the colors.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but then again, it's not a terrible deal breaker at this price range, to be perfectly honest. So that's one thing. Now, we spoke about 4K HDR content. What about regular 4K and 1080p?
So taking away HDR and only sticking to 4K, you get the sharpness, you get that same level of decent motion, but taking away HDR kind of does it in for the colors. And then again, we're dealing with completely odd colors. Apart from that, I would say the black levels weren't particularly good. Now, this is an LED TV, so we're not expecting great black levels anywhere. We're not expecting QLED or OLED quality of blacks. But I still found that the black levels were kind of going towards gray rather than black. While I was watching this one show called The Spy, which is streaming on Netflix, this is a particularly dark show. It's kind of set in the 1960s. And in production, they've kind of put some kind of filter on it, which makes it look monotone. It looks like you're watching an old show. There are colors, but they've kind of muted everything. And despite muted colors on the show, despite a lot of dark scenes, I'm seeing grays and I'm seeing certain colors getting blown up even in the show. So that was, of course, I did watch it in HDR. But at the same time, that is just a, that's just what I'm saying for the, what do you call it, for the black levels. Watching something like Sacred Games, for example, which streams in 4K but not in HDR, I'm finding colors all over the place. They're just like I mentioned, those radioactive, almost radioactive feeling colors, which are popping out of the screen almost. They're not looking accurate at all.
Yeah, when if somebody shot some movie or show with poor white balance or something, then this TV will make it
That's
look good.
Pretty much what you can expect, yes.
Yeah, so a bit frustrating, but then again, at 30,000 rupees, how much can we complain, right? That's also a point to consider.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, so now that we've spoken about that, I don't think we mentioned standard definition content and how it looks.
That's right, so standard definition content. Now, I mean, we are dealing with a 4K panel and you play anything in like 480 or 540p, it's going to have to upscale it to fit on that screen with all of those pixels. Mm-hmm. Not too bad in my opinion. I mean, I've seen worse, and you, when you're dealing with very, very big TVs, you're dealing with 65-inch, very high-end TVs where they don't expect a lot of people to be watching that much standard definition content anyway. I found the performance to be average. I mean, it does a decent job. This is a 50-inch screen. It's not as big. The pixel density is a little bit less, which means it didn't quite look as bad. It's good for the occasional standard definition viewing. If you watch cable, if you might want to stream something of YouTube in standard definition, it does a decent enough job. But at the end of the day, any 4K TV is meant to be watched with 4K or full HD content at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be using this for standard definition channels on cable TV, the experience is going to be below pretty average. Much. Yeah. So if your like, use is primarily going to be that only, like watch whatever general entertainment shows and that too non-HD, then I suppose you don't need this TV. You can get any other 1080p TV.
Get any other TV. Get a smaller TV. It'll suit you better.
Yeah. So there's that. Okay. So now that we've spoken about the panel, the next thing that I want to mention is the software and how it performs. So now, two things to highlight here. First of all, there's a base layer of Android TV on this one. And on top of that, there is a Patchwall launcher, which you can switch to. So if you want, you can use Android TV and then you can switch to Patchwall if needed. And otherwise, you can continue on Android TV as well. My second thing is that this has an Amlogic processor, some Cortex A something.
Cortex A53.
A53. So now what I've heard is that Amlogic processors are kind of underpowered. And especially for TVs that already have this dual launcher thing, and switching between devices, powering them on and off, is going to be a bit on the weaker side. So how was your experience with the Mi TV 4X?
I did not like the software experience of the Mi TV 4X. I mean, I like Android TV and the Android TV interface was great. All of the apps are there, that is true. But, and I, you know, to some extent, I'm even willing to accept Patchwall. I mean, I can see the appeal of Patchwall. I can see the appeal of, you know, just going in and getting that whole tiled interface, which puts the shows at the forefront rather than the apps. So I understand the appeal of all of that. Whether such a thing works well with the hardware is the question here, and I'm going to tell you it honestly doesn't. I found the TV to be very sluggish. It takes too long to boot up. It takes really long to kind of scroll around. It's a bit sluggish even with the remote. I mean, I'm giving commands on the remote and I'm seeing real time delay in those commands getting executed even while navigating or trying to enter an app. These are essentially the issues that I experienced with performance. I'm going to say it has something to do with that Amlogic processor, because this is, of course, a budget processor. Now, typically, high-end TVs in the smart TV space tend to go with MediaTek chipsets. That's the one that was there on the OnePlus TV, which we recently reviewed. And I would say performance on the OnePlus TV was, at least as far as the software was concerned, the OnePlus TV is zippy, it's quick. I didn't really find any lag or stutter while trying to move around the interface. That is the issue I had here. You do need to be a little bit patient. Again, this is something that can just be put down to the price. I mean, this is a way to cut costs at the end of the day. I mean, if you need to sell a 50-inch 4K TV at 30,000 rupees, you kind of need to cheap out in a few places. This is one of them. Performance is not great. You're going to have to be a little patient with this TV.
Yeah. How much time does it take to switch on the TV?
45 seconds on average, and there was no quick boot method. So typically Android TVs have some kind of quick boot where powering it off is not really powering it off, but putting it into standby, similar to how it would be on your phone, where you simply hit the power button and your phone wakes up immediately. Not the case here. Powers down every single time. No real method of standby. There is a way to turn off the screen, but even that is kind of hassly. I mean, it takes a few steps. Typically, just pressing the power button will, by default, turn the TV off, and it will take about 45 seconds to turn back on every single time.
Another question. Now, can you switch this TV on without internet? Or, you know, like, let's say like you, like we were discussing the other day, someone doesn't want to use the smart TV interface, Android TV and all, they don't want it. What they want to do is boot it directly into their Fire TV stick or into their set-top box. Is that possible?
So you can set the TV to go to boot into the last used source device. So which is not necessarily Android TV or Patchwall. It can be that connected Fire TV stick or your console or something, assuming that device powers on with the TV or remains on all the time. That is possible. You can get straight into that thing, but it will still take its time to kind of boot up. It'll start the whole thing, but then simply instead of going into Android TV, it will go into that device. So that whole angle is possible, but it still does take a little bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, this is supremely annoying to have to wait like for 45 seconds for the TV to boot. And in our test, what we saw, at least here, was that if you want to boot into Android TV, I'm not entirely sure if it will boot if the internet is down or something.
No, it will boot into Android TV even if the internet is down. That shouldn't really be a problem. It's going to take a little while to start up Android TV, and a bunch of stuff is going to be missing. So Android TV's interface is essentially a top row of the apps you have installed on the TV. and lower rows featuring content. This will be like from Google Play Movies or YouTube or whatever your apps are. It will kind of have rows and rows of content. Now, none of this stuff is going to load without the internet, because I mean, it does need to connect to the internet to get access to what content is available.
Yep.
So if you boot up to Android TV without the internet connected, you're just going to see the top row of apps, which is fine. You just need to go one level above that, go into the settings or into the source menu and select whatever source device you have connected.
So now, since you mentioned that, selecting the source device, let's talk about the remote. Now, I believe you had a few issues with the remote on the OnePlus TV Q1 Pro, and some of those still continue with the Mi TV 4X 50.
So the problem is that both the OnePlus TV Q1 Pro as well as the Mi TV 4X 50 have remotes that are too minimalist for my liking. And this is going to be a problem with a lot of users. Now, I would say even a couple of years ago, when I would be reviewing TVs, even high-end TVs, or even for that matter, low-end TVs would usually come with two remotes. There would be the one fancy smart remote, which had Bluetooth and the ability to talk to voice assistants and stuff like that. But at the same time, there was a second remote bundled, which was a traditional blocky remote filled with buttons and just an IR emitter. Which means that if you wanted to, you had the option to use that remote to kind of control everything. Or if you wanted to have that minimalist light feel, then you use the fancier remote. Unfortunately, starting with the OnePlus TV Q1 Pro, moving on with the Mi TV 4X 50, we're seeing only the minimalist remote coming in the box. And these minimalist remotes are too minimalist. There's simply not enough buttons on the remote. They've omitted important buttons. Buttons like mute, which is basic. I should not have to keep my finger on volume down to quickly silence the TV. I need to be able to hit one button and get it to shut up. What if it suddenly spikes? What if my child is sleeping in the other room and she wakes up because of it? So those kind of problems are typically associated to not having a mute button. Like you mentioned, there's also no source switcher button. On the Mi TV remote, there's no settings button as well, which is completely ridiculous in my book. How can I not access the settings through the remote? At least the OnePlus TV had that ability. At least there was a settings button on that remote. This one doesn't even have that. I have to go to the Android TV interface, scroll up to the settings to adjust settings every time. Which means if I'm in a source device, let's say I'm using my Fire TV Stick to watch something, and I feel like I want to tweak the picture, I have to stop what I'm watching, go to Android TV, tweak the picture, go back and check if my tweaks have made any difference. It's all completely ridiculous. I should have the ability to change stuff on the fly, which is missing here. No source select button. I have to do that through the Android TV interface. No settings button as well.
Yeah, and I suppose to give you the TV at a lower price, they have these tie-ups with other streaming services that, you know, such as whatever Netflix and Amazon. I'm not entirely sure if they're getting money from these companies or not, or if they have some other kind of a partnership. But they do put their buttons, right? Like there's a Netflix button and there's a Prime Video button on this Mi TV remote. So I'm not entirely sure if that's the best use of those buttons. We could use mute and settings instead of that.
So yeah, these are... I don't think there's money involved, but there are some kind of partnerships here. And usually selling a TV exclusively on Amazon's website involves having that. That's what I've noticed, at least. I'm not going to say that is how it works. Yeah. But what I've noticed is that when TVs are sold on Amazon, as was the case with the OnePlus TV Q1 Pro, as is the case with the Mi TV 4X 50, there happens to be that Amazon Prime button, because Amazon wants to kind of promote their streaming service as well. They might be giving the manufacturer some benefits if they agree to put that button on. Netflix is something that I've noticed that people want, whether they actually use it or not, but it just looks cool. Oh, look, my remote has a Netflix button and I can hit it and go straight into Netflix. I suppose it's convenient. I suppose if you're going to use it, it makes sense. But at the same time, it is a terrible way. I mean, look, there aren't enough buttons on the remote, and you put two buttons that I'm not even going
to
use.
Yeah, exactly, right? And how hard is it to just like keep Netflix on your main screen, on your home screen?
Exactly. It's simply a matter of, I mean, like you scroll a little bit and you hit the select button rather than hitting the Netflix or the Amazon button.
Yeah, exactly. So it's actually really like surprising to see them cut corners on the remote of all things. See, underpart processor, I can understand. If you want to deliver a TV under 30,000 rupees, something has to give, right? But just give a traditional blocky remote along with this as well, and so that, you know, people can get started quickly and they don't have to figure out, okay, where is this option? How do I go here? How do I go there? It looks like this TV is sort of been made for people who are used to the smartphone world, not for a whole generation of people who are not exactly very tech savvy, right? And even, say, people from our generation, a lot of people may have maybe familiar with, you know, how to use the whatever that click wheel or whatever else is there on the remote. But it still is a little inconvenient, especially when you're watching something, to change something and then to mute the TV. It is very inconvenient. Like, I really don't know who gave them the bright idea that a mute button is not necessary. And at least, you know, the OnePlus TV had a volume rocker, right? Which was, again, a pretty terrible implementation of the thing. Honestly, like, it's not a smartphone, it's a TV. Just give a proper button. It's really not that difficult. So, again, I really can't understand who gave them that bright idea that, you know, even volume settings and all are not exactly needed on the remote. So, would have loved to see these things, but unfortunately, this is what you have to live with if you want this kind of a TV at this kind of a price. So, do you have any closing thoughts about the TV, something we didn't speak about, or in general, should people get this, or instead, you know, other dumb TVs are better?
So, yeah, I'd say this is a tremendous value for money offering. I mean, at the end of the day, you're getting a 50-inch 4K HDR smart TV running Android TV at this price. Now, while it's not perfect in any way, I mean, like, every single department, there is a compromise, whether you're talking about performance, whether you're talking about software, whether you're talking about the features that come with the TV, even the design to some extent. I mean, it's not a bad-looking TV, but it's not necessarily a great-looking TV either. It's not the slimmest. It's not got the slimmest bezels. It doesn't have the best connectivity options. So there is a small compromise, or even, I'd say, not even necessarily small, but even a mid-level compromise in every single department. But at the same time, it's not a terrible TV, and at 30,000 rupees, you could live with it. If you do buy it, if you are looking for a way to get into the world of streaming and the world of 4K and all of those things, let's say you're a typical cable TV watcher and you're trying to look at different options, this is a good place to start. You might not be willing to spend 1 lakh rupees or 1.5 or 2 lakh rupees on those fancy TVs. Give it a start with this. Yeah, you get your big screen, you get, there are some compromises, but I think most people could live with these with a little bit of patience.
Okay, so what can you get in 30,000 rupees if you don't want a smart TV? So let's say somebody has a budget of around 25,000 for a TV and 5,000 or so for a Fire TV stick, or right, a similar streaming device.
You could get a 32-inch dumb Sony, LG, Samsung TV.
Full HD.
32-inch would be HD. Hmm. You could, I mean, like, if you're looking at deal time, if you're looking during one of the festivals, you could even bump that up to like a 43-inch full HD TV. Possible. You could get that dumb TV. Maybe it's a smart TV and then you just choose to ignore it. Ignore the smart interface and use your Fire TV stick if that works better for you. Something like that could work out. And that is something that I would say is the ideal alternative. Get a 43-inch full HD. If you're worried about performance, get a 43-inch full HD TV instead from one of the top brands, rather than spending 30,000 on a 50-inch 4K TV that may not necessarily even be that good.
Yeah, exactly. So that 45-second boot time and the remote, these are two deal breakers for me personally. But that may not be the case for other people. A lot of people might want a bigger TV, 55-inch 4K TV at 30,000. Otherwise, you're not going to get, unless, you know, you buy it second hand or you are the dealer and you can give yourself whatever discount you want. So for a lot of people, it may make sense. But for me, unfortunately, it does not. What about you? Like, would you consider this an acceptable compromise?
I would not. I personally would not. I'd say that if I was shopping for a 55-inch 4K TV, I'd have a higher budget.
Hmm.
If my budget was only 30,000 rupees, I would set it at a realistic 43-inch full HD rather than insist on getting that 4K and that 50-inch size.
Alright, so I don't think we could have summed it up any better. So with that, we'll close this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360. Send us your questions, comments and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. And also, if you're on any podcast app such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, Google Podcasts on your Android phone or any other app, please rate the show, please review it, please subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.